This podcast is a member of the Red 5 Network. For more Red 5 Network podcasts and content creators, visit bio.link/red5.
Is now the ultimate power in the universe.
From out of town, we got Dave from What Does Star Wars Mean to You? And Danny from Comics and Cosmetics. What is up? What's up with your bad selves? Thank you very much for joining us.
And you forgot Tiny. Tiny's here too.
Oh, look at Tiny. Yeah.
He's very excited. Can't you tell?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So stoked. See, Dave, this setup still looks good.
Yeah, for sure. It's warm and cozy, and
I'm down at the bottom. It's fine.
I feel left out.
What? Why do you feel left out? Yes.
There you go. I feel better now.
Are you kidding me?
I'm a camera guy. I have to deal with headroom and framing.
Yeah. So. Well, I try to frame my co-host in there with me, but he's being difficult. So.
Yes. All right. Danny, you and I were going to get together this morning to talk about this week's episode, actually, on the Scare of Scuttlebutt podcast, Dark Empire. And all of a sudden, Lucasfilm decides to drop a trailer for The Acolyte. I know we were waiting for it since last night. Dave,
since last night, I feel like we've been waiting for this for about
exactly.
Only about 3, 4, 5 years.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. And I know there was a trailer that leaked from Celebration. When was it? A couple of years ago?
That was last year.
Was it last year? Yeah.
And you and I got to see that.
Yes.
that was pretty dope.
I mean, that actually got me excited because, as you know, I like my Star Wars dark and moody. And I know a lot of people are like, hope and happiness and little aliens that like their daddies. But, you know, I enjoy Star Wars that is dark and moody and serious. And, you know, that one of the biggest reasons I liked Andor and Rogue One and Empire Strikes Back, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, there's a Star Wars for everyone, as we like to say here at the Scare Scuttlebutt podcast. But the official trailer dropped today, and I just posted a couple of minutes ago. 97 Bravo, what's up? Hope you are sticking around and listening to our quick reaction. I will talk less, so it'll actually be a quick reaction. But... Dave, again, you know, thank you very much. You had just DM'd me on the Twitters there. What did you think? And I'm like, I'll tell you what I thought, but you got to be on my show.
Now tell me what I think too, please, Ro.
Absolutely. So we're going to play it. We're going to react to it, and we're going to talk about it. But first impressions, Dave, the Acolyte trailer. Yes, Nick, it dropped this morning a couple of minutes ago, and the internet is abuzz. But Dave, what are your initial thoughts on it?
I have to say, I haven't known a lot about this show. I didn't know. I didn't see the trailer that you guys saw from Celebration, but it really surprised me. I think it feels like one of the better of the TV shows to drop in a while since maybe Andor. I do think that, look, you can show the conflict and still have hope. Empire Strikes Back perfectly does that. That does end in hope. And so I think it's walking that line between kind of intensity and also Star Wars fun.
Yeah. Star Wars fun is, I like that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's actually a technical term George Lucas came up with.
I know. It's, I've got, you know, the original screenplay's got that somewhere in there. But yeah, absolutely. Danny, what about you? What was your first reaction? And obviously, we've seen the other trailers, but I'll, you know, we can kind of compare a little bit what we saw today and then what we saw in the past. I don't think a lot has changed, but what were your initial thoughts when you saw the official one?
Living Younglings. That was exciting.
Oh, yes. Living Younglings.
Living Younglings that were running for their lives. That was fun. Mm-hmm. I accidentally actually watched a fan trailer first.
Oh, my God. That was hilarious. I was like,
Yoda.
I'm like, so, Yoda, did I miss something? And I watched it like again, like three times. I'm like, I don't see Yoda.
Yeah.
I'm like, that guy right there on the screen. I screenshot and I sent it to you. I'm like, that's
it's new Yoda.
He's like, I don't think that's, I still don't see him.
Younger
Yoda. It's before he lost all his hair and his ears got bigger. You know, as an old man, your ears keep getting bigger. I love the lightsabers. There's lightsabers again. Lightsabers. Yeah. And they're using the Force. And Carrie Ann Moss is just Carrie Ann Moss. She's awesome.
Yeah.
So it looked good. And, you know, I'm always cautiously optimistic and I always reserve my judgment until I actually see a thing.
Sure.
But this trailer looks really good. And fingers crossed the show is as good as the trailer looks.
Sure. Sure. Let's play it. Let's talk over it a little bit. I'm going to bring the audio down a little bit too, just so we don't get flagged. But let's talk
if
a little
only
bit.
You had my encoded version. I got a press kit today. It was so exciting.
Your eyes.
So one thing that does bother me, though, is the recycling of lines. Your eyes, they can deceive you. Don't trust them. I think that's a little bit on too much on the nose when it comes to recycling lines. And I think there are other lines that kind of bother me, too, when I see them in new Star Wars. And comic books does this a lot. When somebody says, you can dispense with the pleasantries, I'm like, all right, come on.
I got a bad feeling about this.
Yeah. Well, you know what? That one is okay, I guess. My outrage is selective. It's very selective, I guess.
You're a Star Wars fan, is what you're saying.
We could use more McClunky. But is there McClunky? But look, there's younglings and they're meditating and
they're alive
and running for their lives. Like
Give it time, Danny. Give it time.
There's always time for having your lives threatened.
Well, I like how the third youngling says it. What do you see?
Fire.
Mm-hmm. I see fire. Wouldn't you turn to her and be like,
where?
That's
and
wrong.
When?
Yeah.
Should someone call the fire department?
Yes. Yes. Let's see.
Have a fire department.
Talking Star Wars says she just did a reaction video of herself. 97 Bravo, not lines, dogma. Let's see. Yoda is a youngling? No. Okay. So,
no, there's no Yoda.
there's no Yoda. We established that. I'm like, I saw the trailer three times. I did not see Yoda unless he was like way in the background.
And
but here's
Bravo,
here's
yeah. Bravo saying that they're not lines. It's dogma.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Sounds good. I can go with that. What was I going to say? You know, one of the things that I was not a big fan of the High Republic novels, the books. I think I read two of them, but they were not my cup of tea. But I do notice, obviously, you know, we're going to get some characters from those books here. I recognize the Wookiee in the robe, so that's the executives finally got a Wookiee to wear some pants, so that's a good thing.
I like how we're seeing so many new alien younglings. It's nice to have more inclusion and representation of the other alien races, and of course, the baddest bee of them all, Trinity, Carrie Ann Moss, just absolutely. Slay girl, slay. She is just killing it as a Jedi, literally.
I think I'm going to enjoy her in this series. I love her as an actress. She was fantastic.
Anywhere.
Exactly.
And I also, I really like how they fight without lightsabers, and they continue that idea, Ezra not using a lightsaber for a little bit. It's just a really great addition to their fighting styles.
I think you might be one of the few who feels that way. There was a lot of likening him to Luke in The Last Jedi with a no, I don't need that.
Nick will link hate to hate when they can.
True. Right. Nick just posted a spoiler. Thank you very much, Nick.
Oh yeah.
Butt face.
But yeah, the fighting style is going to be interesting. You know, I posted too. Did I post or was I thinking about it? Sometimes I get ahead of myself and I think about something to post and I don't post it, but then I'll post it later. But this has a very, what do you call it? Asian martial arts feel to it. There seems to be a lot of wire work, which is, which is cool.
Look at that cinematography.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. It's beautiful. The shots are just stunning. Also, look at that.
It's also that great mix of the feeling, of being of production being on location and on stages, as opposed to all within the volume.
Yeah,
this shot may be in the volume.
Yeah,
probably.
It probably could. But here's the thing about the volume. I think it's it was when it was first introduced in The Mandalorian. I think with any piece of technology, there's a certain growing pain or learning curve about using new technology, and I think. Whoever directed that one episode of The Mandalorian in the Book of Boba Fett, where they went into that city, that ring city.
Yeah, Richie Cunningham's daughter. I'm blanking.
Hmm. We don't.
No, was it? Yeah. Anyways, whoever actually directed that episode.
Thank you. She doesn't direct.
I think they utilized the technology fairly well. I think those shots were really well planned out, the way he walked into the big arena and the conference table, and then he left and he went into the elevator. The camera followed them. Elevator, you know, you can see that the exterior of the elevator, there were, you know, levels that they were going up. So that was very well planned out. And then he came out to a totally completely different set, and it was one shot. So I think stuff like that really sells it for me, obviously, because those are some of the things that I'm looking for, which is fantastic. And here, you know, this shot in particular, I mean, you've got some camera movement too that also helps sell the fact that hey, maybe they are on an alien planet somewhere, because the camera is not static. There is a little bit of movement. Obviously they're on location. This is fantastic. You know, one of the things that I'm really looking forward to is seeing new locations that we've never seen before in Star Wars live action, you know, the movies, obviously. And that kind of excites me a little bit too.
Definitely.
Oh,
here's some more wire work. Did he just grab her shoe?
That's what I thought it was.
Yeah, he just grabs her by the heel. Yeah.
Oh, okay. It looked a little weird. I'm like, here's your shoe. It's a size 9.
Oh, you got big feet.
Welcome to Payless.
Al Bundy is a Jedi. this is just neat to see
a bunch of
Jedi in robes, like out doing Jedi stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
The loudest noise that'll come out of the hate watchers is, where are all the white dudes?
Look, there's a white dude right there. See?
Yeah.
El Señor Blanco is right there.
El Señor Blanco.
Don't worry, Bravo. You're represented.
A darkness rises. Carrie Ann Moss. She's going to kill it.
She is going to kill it. And I think I'm wondering too, who is the fight choreographer? My brother always tells me that they should bring in someone like the guy that does all the Jackie Chan movies is phenomenal. I mean, bringing in Jackie Chan would be kind of special too.
You know, Kiwei Kwan is a fight choreographer. Yes. Ray Park looks like he's got a lot of time on his hands right now. So
yeah, he might be damaged property though. It's he's a little.
Have you
iffy.
Seen his Instagram? It's a little concerning. Like, are you yes. methamphetamine, yes. sir? Right.
Mm-hmm.
I think he might be on the drugs
or something.
He's on something.
Yeah,
allegedly.
All right, so we.
Who is she? Do we know who she is?
I'm not sure, but she looks really cool. There seems gorgeous. To be kind of like a religious aspect to her character, yes. or, you know, so this will be interesting because she actually, the people around her remind me of the those priests that follow the Emperor Palpatine around in especially in Return of the Jedi. You see a lot of them kind of hanging around.
Yes.
His entourage. And also there is some concept art of I forgot what they're called, Sith occultists from Rise of Skywalker, that I don't know if you know, I don't remember a lot of the sequel trilogy, so just kind of drawing a blank here, but there's concept art of that. But what do you guys think of the I guess the aspect of almost a religion aspect of the Acolyte, but really, you know, I think they're going to expand on Force lore a lot more. Dave, what do you think?
I think they're going to, I do agree. They're going to expand on Force lore. There's your fire. They're going to expand on the Force lore a lot. And I think on the Sith side or the dark side is where we might get a lot of new stuff. I like the idea of kind of a darker religion that is forming and the almost like a cult growing. So as the return of the dark side evolves.
Yes. And Danny, Dave just said the return of the dark side as it pertains to this. Do we feel like, you know, so in The Phantom Menace, there was a line that said, you know, the Sith were extinct for how many years? X amount of years?
Millennium.
Yeah, a thousand years, that's it.
Yeah, so people were, you know, people on the internet are saying that they're retconning that line or whatever. But the fact of the matter is that, you know, the Jedi could think that they have been extinct, but maybe they've been hiding. So the jury is still out. But
Maybe it was, you know, the narrative that they wanted
yes.
to tell.
Yes.
Like, no, shh, shh, shh. We don't talk about that. Shh.
Right.
Yeah. And by the way, the fight choreographer for the Acolyte, it's three people, Chris Cowan, Mark Ginther, and Darren Knopp. Those are the fight choreographers. Cool. But I would like to see more of, and Ro, you know this about me. I like the mystical aspects of it, and I feel like that has been largely left pretty vague.
Yeah.
In the movies, we've never really explored the actual religion of the Jedi and the mystical aspects of it. Dave Filoni really added to it in Rebels. And I would like to see more of that in live action because it's fun, it's entertaining, and magic is fun. Let's just be real here. Magic is fun, and it doesn't need some wild scientific explanation for it to be intriguing. In fact, the mystery behind it is what makes it so intriguing.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you know, I'm not into, in the real world, I'm not into religion or politics, but in the Star Wars world, those things fascinate me.
Yeah.
Which is a weird thing.
Well, I think that you're just world weary of the real life stuff.
Sure.
People fighting over.
But I think, you know, this has the potential. Yeah, this has the potential of really, you know, I don't know, generating some really interesting discussions. Mm-hmm. And I know that one of the actors, what, Charlie Barnett, I think, who's in this, early on, had said something about, and I know people, you know, grab onto that and hold on to that comment where they say that the Sith are going to be, you know, it's not about bad guys. There is no bad guys. They're just misunderstood. But I think the there's a line later on here that basically says it's not about good or evil. It's about power and who gets to wield it, who gets to use it. And so I think that's, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was going to expand on that, you know, or add to that. That's what makes a good villain is if they're almost justified, like they could convince you, because evil doesn't know it's evil. Evil doesn't think, well, I'm going to be evil today. Woohoo.
Well, I don't know. I've seen some of your tweets and you wake up, you chose evil sometimes. You choose evil sometimes. So.
No, you know what I'm saying though, right?
Yeah, that, yeah.
You know, if like Thanos was one of the best movie villains of all time because he was doing it for a good reason. He was justified. He made some excellent points. He made some great points.
Sure.
So I feel like that's the Sith. They're not in it for the evil. They're not going forth like, let's just go be evil. No, they feel that the way they use the Force and the way they live their lives is right, and the Jedi are wrong.
Yeah. And you know, there's a little evidence to that argument in the prequels with Count Dooku, where, you know, he mm-hmm. feels like, you know, he wants to be the agent of change when it comes to the Jedi Council in those films, which is interesting. You know, Brad and I last year, we did an episode, which is, you know, for some reason it was our best downloaded episode, The Legacy of the Bad Guy. And we talked about the motivation. We talked about, you know, bad guys and good guys. And it's interesting because, you're right. You know, I like bad guys. I like the drama between bad and good. And obviously that's kind of a very, very, primordial type of struggle. We see it in movies all the time. We see it in literature. And it just makes things interesting. I'm not sure that, and I'm hoping that they're not going to position the Sith as misunderstood characters per se, but I'm hoping that at least we get a little more addition to the lore of the Sith. And I know the expanded universe has a lot of material there that people can sink their teeth into if they really want to kind of go back in time and read some of that stuff. Bravo was talking about some of the expanded universe storylines that deal with it. But it's going to be interesting going forward with this series, because I think it's going to really shake up the world of Star Wars. And I think, you know, besides, you know, doing the same old, which I think a lot of fans are kind of tired of, mm-hmm. Same old, you know, this might be something that is serious enough to, I don't know, kickstart, I don't know, maybe another little bit of an exodus back to Star Wars. An introdus. Yes. Yes. You know, again, I've been a Star Wars fan all my life, and I think, you know, I don't like everything that they've been putting out. I've been vocal about stuff, but I'm also, you know, reasonable in my expectations. I froze the shot here. And I'm thinking that this is a very significant point in the story where they actually see a red lightsaber, maybe for the very first time. What do you think, Dave?
That's what I was getting from it. That it was something that maybe they have heard of in mythology, and now they're seeing it for the very first time, and it's kind of shocking and maybe a little overwhelming. You see the reaction as all the lightsabers after this. I think it's after this shot. all the green, yellow, and blue lightsabers ignite as they take up the challenge to attack. And one of the things, there's a couple of things. One, I like the idea of what Danny was saying about how Thanos had some good ideas. It would be interesting if this does at least add to that argument for the Sith of like, hey, you know, that this is why we're like this. It's not because we just want evil. It's because we believe peace comes through this, through order, just like the Emperor taught Anakin.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing, and I hate this kind of speculation, so I apologize right away, but don't you feel like this is Carrie Ann Moss's lightsaber?
Yes.
Yes. And when this hand came out to grab it, that's the first thing that I thought. And especially because the trailer earlier, that little girl says, I see fire.
Fire.
And the video that is playing over is her turning around slowly. And there's your hint.
It is. Yeah.
I just want to point out that my dog never barks. Ever. I was just saying how he never barks. And now he won't shut up.
Does he sense an entity in the house?
No. The neighbor finally came to get her dog right when we're live streaming. So I had to rush out there and like, and she starts explaining to me what happened. And I'm like, I gotta go. Like, and now Tiny's like yelling at him, I guess, to come back. I don't know. I don't know what's happening.
So, sorry, you know, we finally get some really cool, you know, group Jedi shots.
Yes.
Just like the Knights of the Old Republic when the animation and that ship, the door opens and you see all the Sith dudes. Which was cool.
Tiny super stoked for the trailer Ubaldo. That's what's going on.
Exactly.
He's stoked for all the lightsabers and that whoosh, that force that pushes them all back and all the trees and the dirt and the lightsabers.
Yeah.
That was so cool.
Yeah.
I'm here for more of that. Please. I want Andor. I love Andor. I think Andor is a great show. But I hope this is the Andor for action, for Jedi action. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Earlier when you said you saw Yoda, I'm like, maybe he's in after this sequence here, this title, like it had a end credit scenes. I'm like, maybe there's where Yoda is. But
on the 4th of June, it will premiere.
Yeah.
That's me. There's Yoda. Told you. Yoda.
Yep.
Yoda's there.
Honestly, though, can you have this series? This takes place, 100 years prior to
Phantom Menace,
the prequels. Can you do the series without having Yoda?
Can you do the series without having Yoda? Probably not. I mean, either a mention of Yoda or... I mean, yeah, I can see him popping up. I mean, he would make sense.
Yeah, he'd be 700 years old. It's 200 years before A New Hope. So he'd be 700. So he's middle-aged.
Yeah.
I mean, it would actually be a little disconcerting if Yoda never popped up in the series or is never mentioned because he's around.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. And he's such a massive figure even then.
Right. He is... Yeah, he would be on the council. Bravo. You're absolutely right. He'd be on the council. I mean, he was basically de facto leader of the Jedi. So
it's
kind of a big deal.
And I agree that we don't have to see him, but he has to be mentioned. And it has to be a little bit hey, Yoda's on the phone. Remember in old sitcoms?
He's taking orders. He's taking coffee orders.
Yeah, exactly.
So one of the things that one of my biggest complaints during some of the Ahsoka show and some of the other television shows is that I don't know, man, Star Wars, you know, when it first came out, it had that used universe look. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows about it. But then all of a sudden, you know, Disney takes over and everything is so clean. Even the used universe looks super clean. It's like, what's the deal, guys? Put some dirt on it. Like, this shot is, you know, it's great. You see some aliens, but like, did they just get out of Walmart to get their outfits? Because everything seems like brand new. There's no
Walmart outfits. Oh, you said that about Ahsoka.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like to see a little dirt. I like to see a little, you know, some more used universe, but I like the fact that there's,
because you have a tiny backyard and you just,
that was an attack.
You've got a small backyard. So you feel like you need to get your,
my dirt in. Yeah, that's exactly it. But yeah, I mean, let's see. This is another one of the training chambers that is very prominent in the prequels.
Mm-hmm. Now, is this the same one Anakin slayed all the younglings in?
Yeah.
I don't know. It could be.
It also looks like the council chambers.
Yeah. Yeah. It also looks like where Anakin and Obi-Wan were training in the flashbacks of Obi-Wan.
Yeah. So... yeah, I mean, again, you know, Star Wars aesthetic. I love seeing new things in Star Wars. Yep. You know, this wherever they're going, there's some more creatures in a cantina. This is actually this looks pretty good.
Yes.
You know, droids and creatures eating things. I think that's pretty cool. And then darkness. This is where, you know. So it looks like Kate Moss is. I don't know if you guys remember the cut scene in The Phantom Menace where Padme and the rest of some of the people, some of the characters were kind of just talking about forming a rebellion.
Yeah.
You had Mon Mothma. You had Bail. And I think. Mm-hmm. This feels kind of like the same thing because Carrie Ann Moss is going to a table and meeting some people here. Hold on a second. Did we pass it up? Yeah, right here. So they're heading in to talk a little bit about power and who wields it.
Yeah. But
we'll see. We'll see.
Very and exciting.
It is. Yeah, I guess, you know, final thoughts.
I've got another.
Go ahead.
I just have one kind of obnoxious question for everyone. who is the baby Yoda from the Acolyte? Who's the, is it?
Oh, who's going to be the?
Nubs? Who's going to be the cute plushy doll?
Please.
Favorite.
Please, no.
Is it going to be the... And here's another thing. A lot of times...
Looks like... and so this is kind of like in the olden times or the ancient times, because there must be COVID running around in here, too.
She's masked.
But it's interesting, though. Like, who is this assassin character, and why is she trying to kill somebody? Maybe not Carrie Ann Moss, but she's got a knife. There's no lightsabers yet. And obviously Carrie Ann Moss kind of flips it around. And who is this guy? Oh, that's Palpatine. No.
Baby Grandpappy Palps.
No. he looks like an older gentleman, doesn't he, though?
I think it might be a girl. Looks like her hair is braided in a crown braid.
Oh, see? It is a dude.
Yeah, yeah.
Is it?
See?
Right there.
Ah.
Bravo, it's a white dude.
There he is.
Yeah. But here's Weapon X.
One of the things when I watch these, I judge it by whether or not I want the action figures. And it's just a small kind of side judge for me. And I have to say, watching this, I was like, oh, I'd like that action figure. Oh, I'd like that action figure.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's It'll be cool to see other people's reactions. I mean, again, I wasn't too into the High Republic. Too many characters, too many things to kind of remember, and the character names were a little confusing to me. I'm old, so I don't have as much memory engrams anymore. So, but I'm old. Let's see. Here's a good question from Twist My Arm, and if you haven't followed or subscribed to his show, you should, because I'm on it.
Oh,
does this make you guys want to read more of the High Republic stuff? For me, short answer, no.
I'm just getting into the High Republic. I just finished the second book, and I'm enjoying it. I think it's hard to discern because I want to read more of it anyway.
Right. Yeah. No, that's fair. That's fair. All right. I guess, you know, our ratings might be all over the place, but what are your thoughts, your final thoughts, Dave, on the Acolyte trailer that just dropped today? And how many more times are you going to watch it?
I'll probably watch it a couple of times. I'm going to throw in a random plug, but I still have not stopped listening to the new Billy Joel song every day since it came out in February. So will this match that kind of intensity? No. I really liked this trailer. It got me interested in what the show has to offer. And it has also kind of... It feels like everyone's been describing it, Andor meets Action, like Danny said. I think that is a perfect kind of, like, for me, this trailer is, does it make me want to see the next trailer? And then does it make me want to see the show? Yes, it does.
Okay. Yeah. Danny, how about you?
The trailer is good. They did a good job of garnering my interest without giving away the store.
Sure.
I feel like, yes. I still don't really, it doesn't really give you the plot. It doesn't give away the plot or anything, but it gives you just enough actual Star Wars to make, yes, you think, ooh, I would like to watch this Star Wars show.
Yes.
The lightsabers, the force, the action, the cinematography, the Carrie Ann Moss. I'm in. I really hope that the show is as good as this trailer is, because it is a good trailer as far as trailers go. It's a good trailer.
Yeah, and I wanted to
crush it too.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's like when I was going down the stairs and I had the Millennium Falcon Lego ship and then I tripped and then it went all over the place. Exactly how it was. It is terrifying. Yeah, I mean, Danny, you know how I feel about trailers nowadays. Like, a lot of times they'll put out a trailer and in the 2.5 minutes, you don't even have to go see the movie anymore because the trailers are like exactly the same thing. See you later, 97. It's intriguing. I'm obviously interested. I'm going to watch a new Star Wars and then, you know, discuss it case by case. We're getting two episodes in June, so that'll be good to kind of see where they go. And again, like I said, I like my Star Wars dark and moody and serious, so I'm looking forward to seeing how the story pans out and discussing it with all the Star Wars nerds, hopefully it'll be good. You know, I don't want to say I'm cautiously optimistic, but I think this might be a little bit of a pivot when it comes to the quality of these shows going forward. I know there was mention up in the boardroom at Disney that quality and not quantity.
It's only the fourth time we've heard that.
Right. Well, hopefully. We've had a couple of setbacks, but... Absolutely. I think you guys are welcome to come back. We'll do some reviews of the show when it drops later on in the summer. It's funny too, because it's a trailer that's good, But it's not one of those trailers like I'm gonna go watch it like again another 100 times. I think three for me was good enough. I wonder if there's gonna be another trailer before June. So that'll be interesting to see.
There should be.
Yeah. But yeah, overall, I think it was a decent trailer. I'm looking forward to the series. I don't know. That is the scuttlebutt, as they say. But guys, thank you very much, Dave, Danny, for coming on impromptu last minute to talk about the trailer and give our reaction to The Acolyte. Thank you very much, guys. Any final thoughts? Or Dave, why don't you guys tell me where to find you? Let's tell the folks that are still hanging around. I think just us now.
Yeah. Well, you can find me on What Does Star Wars Mean to You? It's a podcast. Find it on Apple, Spotify, everywhere. And on the socials, you can find me at What Does Star Wars or at Star Wars Mean to You? That's at Star Wars Mean, the number 2 and the letter U. I had to close my eyes to remember that.
Muscle memory.
Yes. Yes. That's how I remember a lot of things, actually. Mm-hmm. Danny?
You can find me on YouTube at Comics and Cosmetics and on TikTok and Twitter and virtually every other single platform out there. Just type in Comics and Cosmetics. You will see me. You can find me tonight on YouTube Live at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. We're going to be talking about the Beau DeMeo fiasco with X-Men 97, James Gunn not even knowing what's canon in his own universe. We're talking about all the nerdy news you need to know for this week. I think that's pretty much it. And it's Tiny Tuesday. So if you follow me on Twitter, you'll get new movie posters featuring my co-host, Tiny.
Those are great. Oh, and speaking of co-host, Dave, you have a new co-host. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that venture?
Yes, I have a new co-host. Her name's Elora. She is a right? Named after the character from Willow.
Oh, and very nice.
She is, we say I'm an original trilogy kid and she's a PT kid. She grew up with the prequel trilogy as her Star Wars on ramp. And we're talking to people. And we're also doing these mini-sodes. One just launched today. It's Darth Vader issues 1 through 12. We just kind of do a bit of a dive into that and how it affects canon and his relationship with the Emperor. And it's a lot of fun. And she's a lot of fun. Where I'm kind of like goofy, she's serious. And where I'm kind of old, she is sprite and energetic.
It's nice. There's got to be a balance there. Excellent.
Yes.
That's what I say when you're on the show with me. But you have to figure out which one is which. Excellent, guys. All right. We are part of the Red 5 Network. Danny, Cosmic Comics and Cosmetics and the Scare Scuttlebutt Podcast. If you want to find the rest of the team over at the Red 5 Network, head on over to bio.link/red5 or go to theRed5Network.com. Until next time, Dave from What Does Star Wars Mean to You and Danny from Comics and Cosmetics. This is Ro from the Scare Scuttlebutt Podcast. We'll see you next time. And that's the Scuttlebutt. Woohoo!